In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When Jesus healed these two blind men, he said very special words to them. He used words that we find in the book of Genesis that God used when he created the world. Let it be. Let it be so. According to your faith, let it be so. And their eyes were healed. Healed, even really created. Because he is the one who, at one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the beginning, the Son of God, said along with the Father and the Spirit, let it be. And here, this incarnate Son of God, the Son of God become man, heals this man's eyes and says to him, let it be so, and it is done. Now Jesus Christ healed our humanity. Our humanity is healed in him. It is no longer broken. In Christ, it has been healed. And we, by having communion with God through Christ, have access to that perfection. The perfection that God brought to our humanity. If we are willing to accept through humility and through an end of the effort to accomplish perfection on our own, according to our own understanding and according to the understanding of the world, the perfection of our humanity is available to us. But when God wanted to heal our humanity, he didn't do it the same way that Jesus healed the eyes of the blind man. He didn't just say, let it be so. The brokenness of the creature that I have created is restored. It is healed. He didn't do that. That's not how he did it. He did it by way of the cross, his own death, accepting death, arising from the dead, his resurrection. Why did he do it that way? If he had done it the other way, we would not have been able to participate in the perfection of our humanity. Now we live in time and space, limited beings, not like God. It takes us a lifetime to respond to his call. Be ye perfect. It's almost like saying on his part, let it be that you will be perfect. But it takes our whole life to respond. Our whole life is a response to his commandment to be like him. In each and every incident in our lives, we have a choice between following our own vanity, our own fear of the world, fear of death, and trying to do things on our own, or responding to his call to share the perfection of humanity that is in him. And we have access to that by way of humility, by way of love of God, by way of making every action that we perform in our lives a movement toward him. Now we don't know what the blind man did with the restored eyes that Jesus gave them. Did they use their vision to be able to move closer toward God? Oftentimes in the New Testament, when Jesus heals someone, we know historically from not just the recording in the New Testament, but we know historically, the memory of the church tells us that that person that Jesus encountered or healed went on to become a Christian, sometimes a bishop in the church. In this case, we're not sure. We are given healing in order to be able to do something with it, though. That is the key. That's why God came and healed and restored our humanity, so that we could live a life of meaning, so that everything that we do, every encounter with another person, is a meaningful encounter where we have the opportunity to make that event a movement toward God, a love of God through our love and affection for that person, our sensitivity to that person. St. Paul says this morning that those who are strong, those who are mature in the faith, and who are able to see the path that ought to be followed, and clearly see how things are, need to be gentle with, and understanding with, and have humility in dealing with those who don't see as clearly as we may in that particular case. He says that we have to bear with the scruples of those who are weak. We ourselves may be the one who is weak. We may be certain that we know how things ought to be done, or the right way that things should be. We may even be so certain that we may find ourselves judging others and saying, well, that's not the way it should be done. That person isn't doing it the right way. It's a sign of weakness when we find ourselves judging others. For sure, there must be something wrong with our understanding of things if we find ourselves judging others. Because St. Paul says that those who are spiritually mature don't do that. They bear with the scruples of the weak. We may see someone who is concerned about things that we know are not significant, are not spiritually important, but we are told that we are to bear with one another, bear with the weak and their scruples. Do all that we do in order to help and to please them. And that would be, first of all, not to judge them. And if we do see the path clearly, then we have the responsibility, the more clearly we see how things should be done. It's not our place to simply try to command others to do as we, even if we do see clearly, see things ought to be done. We are to bear with the scruples of the weak. Father Jacob Myers once said in a very exceptional sermon that the whole purpose of Christian life is to become more sensitive. To become more sensitive and be able to see others. Because we, he said, are the ones who are blind. We are blind to others. We can't see others, because we're so concerned with ourselves, maybe so positive that we are right, so positive that we know how things ought to be done, so sure that others should listen to our way of doing things, that others are invisible to us. We are blind to others because of our insensitivity. It's important for us to be concerned about being truthful and honest with others, not to be deceptive. If we try to deal with the scruples of others and try to move them around to our way of thinking, we're going to speak in half-truths. We're going to try to persuade them by deception, to take what we see as the incompleteness of their understanding and move it toward our own absolute certainty that we know how things ought to be done. And when we do that, we miss everything, because it's not a matter of being certain. It's not a matter of being able to exercise the authority of our conviction or our certainty. Even God himself does not deal with anyone like that. He bears with our scruples, our shortcomings, our lack of understanding. He gives us a lifetime to begin to see that there is something beyond our own individual certainty in ourselves. To turn away from that and to begin to move beyond ourselves toward Him and thereby toward others. The blindness that we have that needs to be healed so that we can take full advantage of the fact that we can move toward the perfection of Christ and the fullness of the stature of Christ, because He has made it part of our humanity that is available to any human being. In order to be able to do that, we have to be healed of this blindness toward others in the spiritual life. Everything is about others. We have to gain the ability to love God by loving others. That's why Jesus said that if you do not love others, if you do not forgive them, if you are not concerned about the least of these, then what you have done to them, you have done to me. That's the nature of spiritual life for each one of us as human beings. And so we have to embrace the humility that it takes to admit that in many ways we are blind. In many ways we have more certainty than we ought to have. And the only way that we can begin to do that is exactly by the way of humility. St. Paul says that God is a God of comfort and a God of humility. God Himself being humble. Imagine that. How does He express His humility? He expresses His humility by taking each one of us, blind as we are, by the hand and leading us, not simply condemning us and judging us and telling us that we're wrong, but by reaching out to us in affection and love and concern so that He can lead us to the point that we no longer have that blindness toward others. Once that blindness toward others is gone, we will begin to see the spiritual path in our life. Until the blindness that we have toward others is healed, we won't know which way to go. We will depend on ourselves. We won't be truly involved in the spiritual life that is shared amongst us. Because that is the nature of spiritual life. We are given fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, children, friends, fellow parishioners in order to work out our spiritual lives in fear of losing the love of God. That's what the fear of God is about, remember. Fear of God means loving God so much that the last thing that we want to do is to lose His love. If we encounter others with a fear of God, then we won't judge them. We will be concerned as to the scruples that they follow. Because like us, like all of us, we only see partly. We only see, as St. Paul says, through a glass darkly. We are doing each one of us the best we can to follow the spiritual life. And so we have to give each other the benefit of the doubt. Our problem is this blindness toward others and that treacherous certainty that we place in ourselves and in the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.